Hi, I'm Carrie Butler, and you're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a special offer for my listeners. You can get my new course at carriebutlercoach.com/Broadway Podcast.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Once I played a penny who just couldn't stop the beat. Yes, with roller skates on her feet. Goes as recently deceased. A real cool mom, musical version of Tina Fey. Tina Fey, now come with me and fly. I am your host, Miss Carrie Butler. Together, you and I are brave.
It's Carrie Butler with Breaking Broadway. So excited to have my friend here today as our guest, Barrett Wilbert-Weed. You may know her. She's famous in all circles because of Heathers and because she was my roommate in Mean Girls.
And
amazing Janice. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Carrie.
So do you want to give our audience like a little bit of your journey to how you found theater and how you made it to Broadway a little bit?
Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
Like when did you start?
Yes. Okay. I started when I was a little kid because my mom like needed something for me to do after school. So she put me in like a children's opera. It's still around. It's called the Boston Children's Opera.
Wow.
She put me in BCO when I was like, I think I was 5 because I couldn't read.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, my mom had to
Were you already singing at 5?
I think so.
Wow.
I don't remember, but my mom said, oh, I just choked.
My mom says yes. My mom says I was.
She put me in that. And I remember she had to read me my lines so that I could memorize them. And they would give you like a little cassette tape to like learn your music off of. Which is like still how I like learned my music from like recording.
Were you singing opera?
I don't think so. Can you imagine like a little kid opera?
I know. That's why your training is so impeccable.
Yes. I had opera training from 5 years on. That'd be like just a little premature.
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry, I'm drinking water. And then I just like kind of never stopped doing it. I think at one point I thought I was gonna play hockey professionally because there's women's hockey leagues for me to play on professionally. But I think my mom thought that was like gonna like pay for college or something, so I was like playing hockey for a long time, and then like my mom was like, who are we kidding, why are you trying to be like a jock? Like, no. Just keep.
But you were good at sports?
Performing. Yeah, I'm from like a part of the country where it's like prep school mecca. So like everyone plays like a million sports. So I don't really know if I was good at them or if it was just like something we were all doing constantly. So I like felt like I was really probably not. But yeah, no, I just like kept going. I moved to New York without being like part of the actors union. So my first.
But you went to college too, right?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for making it. I went to a performing arts high school, or just an arts boarding school, but my like little major that I had was performing arts called Walnut Hill in Massachusetts. And then I went to Elon University.
You loved your school, right?
So much. Yeah, yes. For musical theater. I'm a hardcore nerd for Elon. So then my first professional job was covering for people in Los Estrada Jones on Broadway.
Oh, that's right.
And I got my equity card from that, which is crazy.
Wow.
I didn't know that was like weird when it happened, but then I was like, but then we have like a few people like that in Mean Girls too, where we're like, do you realize this is like a huge deal where you're like,
that's where you get your equity card.
Yeah, it's like good work. But yeah, I didn't know that was weird. I got it from an open call and like that was my first job. Then I was in Bear the Musical off Broadway, and then I did Heathers in LA and here. And then a couple of like regional things. I did that production of Cabaret at the Signature that I love.
Right.
And now I'm in Mean Girls. In year two, deep into year two.
We had so much fun sharing our dressing room together.
Yes.
We're both kind of, I feel like kind of mellow backstage, you know, in like this.
Nearly silent. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was like our nice little cocoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was dope.
It was good times.
Yeah. Jen and I have kept it up. It's pretty silent. Unless we're doing like one long extended joke.
Yes.
But that's about it. Yeah.
So today's topic is serious one.
For sure.
And I don't want to take it lightly, but I also want to have fun with you.
Yeah, of course.
we'll try and walk the line. Today's topic is anxiety, and I love how open you are on your Instagram page.
Thanks.
And with fans.
Thanks.
I feel like it's a big help to people out there and an inspiration that you suffer from anxiety and people can see that you still make it.
Thanks,
and
care.
Sure.
Yeah.
So how does it manifest itself for you?
I was thinking about it on my way over here because like mine is either like fully happening or fully not. And it's like triggered by certain things, but it's weird to talk about it on a day where I feel like calm and happy and good. And I've like spent the day with friends and like, I got a video. My dog is still on vacation at my mom's house and I got a video of her going through a car wash for the first time. It's really good. No, she was, her ears just got really low and her eyes were really big and she was like, what is that? What's happening? I kept looking back at my mom like, but we're safe. Like, you're good. We're good.
That's so cute.
Yeah. Much like my dog, my anxiety is just triggered by, like, outside things. I think when I feel, like, out of control in terms of, like, my emotions or my career. Like, if I'm just starting to date someone, it's like, I feel like you were backstage with me being, where I'm like, I just sent him 6 texts in a row, like, take my phone away from me. And you were, like, literally clutching your heart, being like, put your phone down. I was like, I know. I'm so sorry. So, like, that.
Mm-hmm.
And career stuff, too, like, I have to practice really hard. I think like Instagram is actually a great weird like form of like public meditation for me.
Oh, interesting.
Where like I have to, you know, try really hard to like not be hyper focused on or not placing importance on other people's opinions.
Uh-huh.
Like especially people who don't know me or people who don't care about me.
Oh, so if people say something bad about you on Instagram, you can let it go. And so that's practice for the real world.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I used to, like, when I was first on Instagram and people were first, like, following me who didn't know me, like, because of, like, my work or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or just because they, like, I don't know, were strangers and they were like, this person looks interesting to pull on. Hit the button. like when I would like read weird comments from people who didn't know me, it would like make me spiral for like days.
Oh gosh.
And now like I don't usually like read comments anymore, but it does not have an effect on me like really at all. I think like once a year someone will say something that will like really rattle me, and it's usually about like reproductive rights or women's rights or racism or
right, you know, like, yeah,
homophobia and things that I feel very strongly about.
But that is interesting because practice. That happens yeah. to, you know, teen girls in high school now.
Yeah, there's, yeah.
You know, like someone, it doesn't have to be somebody yeah. in the spotlight. It just happens to everybody. So yeah. how were you able to get to that place?
Literally just like exposure therapy, I think. I think I didn't realize I was doing that to myself. It's like, you know what exposure therapy
no.
is, right? It's like if you're afraid of snakes, they put you in a tank filled with snakes.
Oh.
And you just freak out until like you get to a place where you can handle it. I think like that's the idea. I don't know if anybody actually puts anybody with it. But like if your fear is other people's opinions, mm-hmm. like if you expose yourself to it over and over and over and over and over again until you get to a place where like even if the impact that it has on you is lessened by like 40%, that's still like great.
Oh, interesting. So just by reading all these comments over yeah. and over again, it just became less for you?
Yeah, and like huh. letting it kind of just like move through you uh-huh. instead of like holding on to it, uh-huh. like, and just, and also like I am diligent in like the comment sections of like my Instagram because I want it to be like a safe place for people to be.
Yeah, me too. Uh-huh.
So if anybody is like saying crazy stuff, I don't have any problem going through and deleting comments and blocking people.
Yeah, me too.
It's like, why would, it's so easy to just be like, nope.
Yeah.
You're kicked out, like, so why wouldn't you do that? But, yeah.
What about medication? How do people know when they need to talk to somebody or if they need yeah. medication? Do yeah. you think?
I haven't, like, talked about this on my Instagram yet because, like, my journey with it isn't, like, done. And it uh-huh. also hasn't started yet. But I think I finally, because mental illness, mental instability, usually... Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a rule for everybody, but usually it shows up in, like, your late 20s, early 30s.
Oh.
And, like, and this year has been, like, very... I mean, you were my dressing roommate. Like,
yeah.
you saw me have, like, very, very dark days.
Mm-hmm.
And this year has been, like... I feel like usually in my years, it's kind of, like, 60-40 manageable, where it's, like, most of the days are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get, like, a few, like, a week or so, like, every month where I'm, like, what is wrong with me? Like, I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And my dog has helped a lot with that. But mm-hmm. this year, just because I've been working so much, which has been great,
yeah.
and, like, it's been a very visible year where, like, I've been forced to be, like, in public a lot.
Uh-huh.
Like, my mental stability has been, like, really fluctuating. And so I think it is time for me to, like, explore medication and mm. just kind of, like, start on that journey and see how, like, I can, like, lessen that burden for myself. Because, like, this is the career that we've chosen. It's
right.
high impact.
Yeah.
And
I know you obviously love being around people, but
yeah.
you need your downtime.
Yeah.
You need your time away from people. And that was actually one of the questions
yeah.
was how do you deal with anxiety
yeah.
just around other people?
Yeah,
so you're
hard.
Saying that this year you were around a lot of people because you were working so much.
Yeah.
How?
Or just like in front of people even.
Oh.
Because I think like at the show, like now, you know, we all, and you experienced that when you were there, like you work with people for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You get used to being really close to each other. Like I have this running joke with like a lot of the ensemble guys that like it's just a running, depending on who's on, who's leaving the show, who's coming in, it's just like a continuing circle of like I just see so many like half naked men
yeah.
every day of my
mm-hmm.
life now. Like
mm-hmm.
that's normal for me in a way that it didn't used to be, where like, and it's because, you know, backstage is so teeny
yes,
tiny
yeah.
and like we're all right on top of each other. So you get used to like being physically close to people and having it not like trigger anything or impact anything. But
do you encourage people then, if they have that kind of anxiety, to force yourself to be around people?
I don't think you can force anything, but I think it's like, I think it's always good to, like, try something. Like, if you've had an okay year, it's like, okay, well, let's try doing something that used to be impossible for me to do. Let's try it, like, 2 days a week. But for me, that's been, like, instead of 2 days a week, that's every day. But, yeah, and so sometimes, and, like, and Gray and I have, like, a pretty good understanding about each other's personality now. So sometimes, like, when one of us needs to just, like, shut off and, like, go, like, disappear into our brain for a day, like, that's, you know, that's easy to do. But still, it's, like, it's been very challenging to, like, have to go be in front of people, like, on stage every day. Like, I've never done a run for this long. And when I was, like, kind of, like, standing at the bottom of the hill, like, looking up at the mountain, I was, like, I wonder how this year is going to go. And then we got to the end of year one, and I was, like, wonder how the next year is going to go. And, like, it's second year has definitely been much more challenging than the first, I think, in different ways. They're both hard, but both hard and both, like, great and, like, you know, wonderful leaps forward. And, like, wonderful, wonderful friendships and business relationships and all that good stuff happening. But, yeah, definitely challenging.
I was just remembering something that happened in the show for me. This, because, you know, there's so much, like, technical stuff going on in Beetlejuice. And I think the other day I had my first panic attack. Something.
Oh, my God. Ever in your life?
Yeah, I think so. I think. I mean, it was like I couldn't breathe. And
I feel like you're having a heart attack.
Yeah, it was like I could not catch my breath. I was like, you know? And so something technically went wrong in the show, and I knew I was about to get hit, and I ended up getting hit, and it was just very and scary. And then I had to go right back on stage. And so that was one of the questions, too. Like, how do you continue with the show when you have a panic attack? So I just breathed, you know, I literally was Rob McClure, who was there with me. He was like, I have never seen anybody go from where you were to be able to get back on stage. And it was hard to speak even when I, cause we only had a few seconds for that to happen. And like me, and then to have to go back on stage and do the scene.
What happened? Like, what set piece was it?
It was a prop that just, just that we were just, there was a technical difficulty, we stopped the show, you know, anyway. But, so anyway, I was hit, it was, it hurt, and, but I think it was more like me being scared and.
And trapped. Like, yes, you can't, there's nothing you can do, you see a huge thing that's going to hit you in the head.
That's exactly what it was. So, we do the scene, and I'm thinking, as I'm doing the scenes, I'm thinking, I might have to call out for this, the second half, because I don't even have my voice anymore. But every time I came off, I would just, like, breathe and just tell myself, you're fine, you have this, you know, and then it just got easier. And then by the second act, I was really fine. After the show, I wasn't still completely back to myself.
No.
The next morning, I still wasn't back to myself. And but I all I wanted to do was stay in bed and watch movies. And I forced myself, because it was Monday. It was my only day off. I forced myself to go out with my husband and be around nature. And then I felt so much better. So that's why I do think it might help to force yourself to do something, get your head out of, I don't know whether it's feeling sorry for, I don't know whether I was feeling sorry for myself
or I think it's just one.
Just like a, it felt like a trauma in a, but it was mini. I mean, it wasn't a big deal, but in my own head, it was a big deal.
If you never had a panic attack before, like it can feel like you're having a heart attack. But you're, but you don't have like, the like the chest pains that people get when they're actually having a heart attack. It just feels like you can't breathe, you can't catch your breath.
And
like,
that's what it was.
You're completely out of control. If you feel like a cornered animal.
I don't even, and it was like, even like, I don't even remember what exactly happened. Like Rob was telling me later just, happened. It's, scary. It's weird.
But also it is real. Like even like when, when you're like, it's not that big a deal. I'm like, no, no, that's a big deal. Like that's scary. If it's scary and it has an effect on you and an impact. But also, like, you have done so many shows, like, you know yourself and, like, you know, how you feel. And so, like, if your instinct is, like, I'm going to leave, I need to not cocoon into myself. I need to, like, go do what I would normally do. And just, like, take a deep breath and try to, like, get back to what feels normal for me. Like, that's, you know, that's what I suggest to everybody because it's, like, I don't. I try really hard not to be like it. I try really hard to just be like, when people ask me for advice, I guess, because I am, like, open about...
Yes.
I don't have any secrets.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, because, like, I'm not a doctor.
Right.
And, like, I have a lot of doctors who help me, and, like, I ask their advice on everything. But, like, you do have to just, like, I do know there's, like, a difference between what my instincts tell me to do and what, like, the panicking voice is telling me to do. And, like, there's a fight or flight voice that's, like, these weird leftover, you know, like, animal impulses that I think we have that are meant to, like, protect us and keep us safe. And then there's another voice in there that sometimes gets drowned out by that. That's the voice that helps you actually take care of yourself.
Right.
Like, for the long term instead of just for the moment.
What are the coping mechanisms that people have given to you?
I'm still, like, learning. Like, I don't even have really, like, a set thing that I do.
Mm-hmm.
I just know, like, overall caretaking and my life balance overall is, like, I have to work really hard to keep everything balanced and not be spending the majority of my time doing any one thing, or else I get, like, very sad to the point of, like, being not really functional, or I get very, like, panicky and anxious and feel like I have to go, like, run around the block, like, 30 times.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's, like, you know, this is the year that, like, maybe I take, like, a little medicine and maybe that helps.
Right, right.
And we just, like, see. But, I mean, what I always have done and, like, I mean, and what I'm learning to do, like, more consciously as I'm, like, an adult, and I've, like, learned what works and, like, what does not work, is, like, I have to exercise.
Uh-huh.
Like, went to Pilates today.
Yes, that's true. They say that exercising is really, really good for your mental health.
Yeah, definitely. I can feel it in me because it's kind of like it just helps you reset. Like, if I can just get my heart rate up, it will help me kind of, like, wipe out whatever unhelpful,
mm-hmm.
like, impulses are there. Like,
yeah. And it releases endorphins.
Yes, which always feels great. And it's good for you. And then it's also just, like, food. Like, these sound like simple things, but it's, like, once you put them all together, you're like, oh, that's a balanced life. But it's food. You have to take care of yourself. You have to eat well. But you also can't be, like, depriving yourself. So it's, like, if you want to eat a cookie, you should probably eat the cookie now so that you don't eat 15 cookies at 3 in the morning 2 weeks from now. And I wanted a dog for a really long time. And I have a dog now, and she's the best. And, like, that's good balance to my life because, like, I love her so much, and she's a living thing that I have to take care of. I'm responsible for her. So even if I am feeling like I can't get up or can't move, I'm like, well, Lorelai has to go out.
Yeah.
So I have to take her out to pee, and we have to go. Even if I'm taking her across the street, like, to go to daycare, I'm like, she has to get there. I have to do it. No one else is going to do it. And also, like, my friendships are really important to me. My relationship with my mom is really important to me. My relationship with, like, my teachers and the people who help me, like, I have a lot of, like, accountability partners. Mm. And not so much, like, accountability of, like, you have to do this. Just accountability of, like, we want you to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think long, long friendships are... Like, I'm sure you can speak to this, too. Like, it's so valuable to have really old friends who know you really well being part of your, like, daily or weekly life.
Because
they're the people who are going to notice if you start going off the rails.
Yeah.
Like my friend Jared, who I lived with for 5 years. Like, Jared is, like, probably... We were joking about it the other day, but I was like, I think you're, like, the foremost expert on, like, my mental health because you've seen the full spectrum of, like I've known Jared since we were 18. So that's a long time, at least for me, to be friends with someone. And he's seen, like, truly, like, every stage of my career, every stage of my personal life, every stage of me, like, becoming an adult. And so he's the number one person who will know if something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it just takes, like, someone you love being like, when was the last time you went to the gym? Or, like, when was the last time you talked to your mom? Or when was the last time you did these things that I know make you feel better?
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So your friend has your coping mechanisms for you.
Yes. Or they have like a list where they're like, have you done?
That's great. I mean, that's a great pointer for people.
Yeah. And I have a therapist too who does all those things also.
Yeah.
Which is like incredibly helpful.
Mm-hmm. Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
And your therapist knows the things that you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just like, talk about people who know when something is off. It's, you know, one of the reasons why it's like, oh, maybe it's time to explore a little bit of medicine is because she was like, yeah, this was an especially like blue year for you. Mm-hmm. But it was also your most like career-wise, like successful
year. Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. So it's like. The thing that I love so much is also a trigger.
Well, also, it's my friend wrote a book because he said when he reached the height of his career, you know, he's always like, oh, when this happens, then I'm going to be complete.
Yeah.
And then when you get there and
oh, there's no
you don't feel, it doesn't give you the feelings that you thought it was going to give you.
No.
Then you really crash.
Yeah. Or not all of them.
Right. And then you feel defeated. You don't feel, you don't feel, it doesn't fulfill you in the way you thought it would.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
You have to work on fulfilling yourself now.
Yeah.
Before your career isn't, getting to Broadway isn't going to do it for you.
Yeah.
Your career isn't going to do it for you. You have to work on your mental health and getting yourself happy before all that stuff. And that will only help you in your career.
Yeah. It's everything. That's the hard part about, that's the hardest part about being a person and being like good at being a person is like all of these things have to factor in all the time.
Yeah.
And like you're never going to be doing it 100% right. Like no one is like really like nailing being a person 100% of the time. Like
right.
No one is 100% functional despite like, I don't know what they or what other people are or what the mean voices in your head want you to believe. Like it's, no one's 100% all the time.
Yeah,
it's just a constant process of figuring out how to be happy, I think.
Yeah. I know that meditating helps a lot of people.
Yes.
having quiet time.
Yeah.
Making thankful lists.
Yeah, my mom does that.
Oh, yeah. I started doing that too and every day. So you think, and I think that that gets you in a really good mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my dressing room with my plants. My plants make me so happy.
Oh, my God. And the watercolors.
Such an oasis. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yes. Doing artwork is like therapy.
It's watercolors, yeah.
It's, so I'm always in my dressing room painting, and anytime
so much.
When
generating
I start getting
so much art, truly.
Yes, in Mean Girls especially, every day I would do something. Now I don't have as much time.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'll start feeling anxious, and then I'll realize I haven't painted for 3 days.
Yeah. Yes.
And you know, it's not even like I'm doing anything with this artwork. It's not like it's, you know, a masterpiece, but
no,
it's just something for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes me feel so good and relaxed.
Yeah. I don't think I was doing this actually when we were roommates, or maybe I had just started it, but now I'm like super into like embroidery and like needlepoint.
Yes, that is a great coming thing for people.
Yeah, it's awesome. Anything like that with your hands.
Yeah.
It really is like, because you can't, and same thing with like guitar and, you
mm-hmm.
know, anything you
making
have
music,
to focus on.
Yes.
Anything you have to use your hands to focus on. I think that's why people are so addicted like to Instagram, because it's like a tactile.
Oh.
like obsessive behavior, mm-hmm. but our like little animal impulses are like, something's gonna come from this because you're using your hands, so you're making something. It's like, no, I'm just on my phone.
One of the questions also was,
yeah,
how do you deal with anxiety in the show? Like if you have, you know, stage fright or a twitch or if you're worried about forgetting your lines. Has any of that happened to you?
Yeah. I feel like the line forgetting is a new thing.
Oh, that happens to me.
But you psych yourself
exactly.
out.
Exactly. That
it's not
is
that you don't know your
100%.
Lines. 100%. It's that you psych yourself out.
And when you've done long runs, that's when it really starts happening.
Yeah.
Because
you
if
make
you,
yourself crazy.
Oh my gosh, it's happened
anything.
To me so many times. Mm-hmm. And now I have like this mental thing where I just tell myself, you know it, just take a breath, open your mouth, and let the words come out. I almost did it before the show today. I have this whole like really fast patter monologue thing, like almost like a Sondheim thing that's really fast. Yeah, and I was like, you don't know it today. This is what I'm telling myself. I'm like, you're doing a podcast on anxiety and you're about to forget your lines. This is going.
That's a real voice. Like that was a full sentence that came out of your head.
Right as I'm preparing to go on stage to do it. And I was like, stop it. Get out of my head. And I just went on stage and I didn't even, because then I was like, you need, Carrie, you need to go
stop,
over that.
Carrie,
you need
stop.
To go over that monologue right now.
No,
right before you go
don't.
On stage, you need to go over it. And I was like, nope, I'm not going over it, voice in my head. I'm just going to go out there and do it.
And Rob's looking at you like.
No, Rob's not there anymore. Now I have
not?
David, but he wasn't. Yeah, he left. But we don't see each other at this point. This is
okay,
when I'm
okay.
off on a pretend phone call.
Cool.
So that's happening to you now too?
I don't have the voice in my head.
Lucky.
That's like,
you don't know what you're doing.
Like, I don't have that. I have like this weird, it's more like I start to forget and then a voice goes, oh my God. And then I'm like, okay, just take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's... Because usually if you can, like, my mom always says if you can take 3 deep breaths in a row, your brain can't focus on anything else. I don't know if that's true, but it works.
Well, that's a good point.
So, yeah, and also, like, part of the way that I was trained as an actor is, like, I've only been trained in Meisner technique, which is, like, very straightforward, practical
mm-hmm.
acting that's literally just listen and respond.
Yes.
And you have to trust, like, that's something I teach, too, where, like, if you're starting to forget your lines or you forget where you are in the scene, like, the only thing that's going to work, and it's also the easiest thing, is just to listen to your scene partner.
Exactly.
Or to look around at the set.
Yes.
Because the other, like, unconscious part of your brain will kick in and
mm-hmm.
Muscle memory will kick in.
Yeah.
And even if you're not, like, saying the words, like... the sounds that make the words will just start coming out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was going to say that even for people who have twitches or things like that, then
yeah.
I would, that hasn't happened to me, but I would imagine
I don't have that
the more you think about it,
yeah.
the worse it gets.
Yeah.
And I think if you focus on your partner and what they're saying and what they're, look at that, really take them in, look at, oh, are they twitching? What's going
yeah.
on with them? Then it will
yeah.
take the focus off of yourself.
Right. Yeah. I think that's really what it's about. It's like figuring out what works for you in order to get the focus, to force the focus off of yourself.
Yeah. And if you're doing a song by yourself, I do see people when they're,
oh my God,
when
yeah.
I'm teaching them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. They start shaking and stuff. And so I think for in situations like that.
They're washing themselves.
Yes. You have to, your song, you have to be singing your song to someone else.
For sure.
And then just imagine
Absolutely.
What they're doing.
Yeah.
What they're saying back to you, what
yes.
how they're looking at you.
Just because you don't have a real scene partner,
right.
like a real person there, doesn't mean you don't have a scene partner.
Mm-hmm.
Like any,
so that's,
any
that
minute
could
that
help.
You're acting, you have a scene partner.
What was the other thing I said? If it's
yeah.
twitching and...
Twitching, what did we say?
Forgetting lines.
Twitching, forgetting lines. I don't know. Or panicking, just stage fright in general.
Right, yes.
Yeah. I don't have stage fright.
I don't either.
But what I do have now, I think because... like you brought up, like I do have like very introverted tendencies
mm-hmm.
and there are some days where I don't want to be in front of people
yes.
and I don't want to perform in front of people. And so there are some days where like at the top of the show, I'm just kind of like, it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really want to be in front of that many people right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to be looked at today.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's part of the reason why like I can't do the stage show on this show. 'Cause it's such a huge show and there are so many people at the stage door every day.
And I remember seeing you kind of have like a mini panic attack even one time when you were walking into the stage door and someone was there.
Yeah.
It has a real effect on you. It's real. It's
yeah. It's mostly because it's out of my control.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we have like these like lovely security guys, and it's a lot of ex-cops now who are security guards at theater who help with the stage door. But like the, you know, there's not a lot that they can do if someone is showing up like with poor intentions. There's not a lot that they can do. Like if someone is really having trouble with boundaries, or if they're having a bad day with their mental health, there's really not a lot that they can do to protect us. Also, because there's so many of us, like it's not, and it's also not really as the stage door, like tradition and culture is kind of like evolving. It's kind of getting out of like their hands in terms of like what they can provide, what safety they can provide, like what help they can give, especially now because like stage door used to work like you would come out. Everyone was very respectful and would hand over a playbill and you would sign it and then you would say thank you for coming and then you would leave and go get in a car and go home. And there was that kind of departure. Right. And now on a lot of shows, like I know on Mean Girls, like I don't have a car in my contract. And so like I don't have a,
if I'm doing any safety getting from the theater.
Yeah. And I've been followed home a lot.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I would say once something happens more than three times that scares me, that qualifies as a lot.
Yeah, sure, and so
after the third time I got followed home, I was like, I don't think we're doing this anymore.
Yeah. Or like, I mean, Barrett has intense fans.
Yeah.
Which is nice because they love you.
Well, it's interesting because it's like, it's just evolved. It's really a different thing. And and a lot of the people who've like been following my career for a while now, like I know them, like I know them by name. We've met many times, like, and you know, we don't have a personal relationship, but I do recognize them. I do know who they are. And like, and I do, you know, I do like explore other people's pages on Instagram sometimes. And sometimes I do like recognize a face. And I will say like the people who have a lot of trouble with boundaries, I don't think are any of those people.
Right.
And it usually has nothing to do with me.
Yes.
And now it's kind of become a thing where like I do get followed and I do get chased like much more than I used to because I don't come out the stage door.
Oh,
so like it's become about like I'm going to get this material object from this person who doesn't want to give it to me. And it's not because I don't want to give it to someone. It's because like I don't feel safe having that experience anymore.
Yeah.
And also like some of the things that people will say to us at the stage door is really weird. Like it's not most things, but I feel like every fourth time I was coming out, someone was giving me like a full critique of my performance. Oh, and I was like, this isn't really like what this is for. I think if you want to write it and post it, you're welcome to, but like, I don't really, it's hurting my feelings. I just want to go to bed. But yeah.
I think now that I'm remembering, I think that I do have stage fright occasionally.
Yeah.
When
I've
gone into a show like as a replacement.
Oh yeah. Well, of course.
So if I don't,
that makes total sense.
Yeah. If I don't know the material as well as everybody else on stage. And I think that the only way you could get over that kind of just prepare as much as you can prepare for the audition or, you know, your part on the show. I use visualization, and visualize myself like doing things and getting through it. But yeah, I mean, just know your lines inside and out before you go on the audition or the stage.
That always helps. Oh,
do different things knowing your lines. Work out doing your lines.
Yeah.
Just because then if they're in you, then you don't have, that is one thing you don't have to worry about.
If the words and the music that you're being given, like if you can make that transition to like, now they're yours.
Yes.
Like they are living in you.
Yeah.
And so you can take like what ownership you can over it. And it feels like your thing And yeah. it feels like your voice and your words instead of like trying to remember what someone else told you to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was that's like a huge distinction that helped me like so much as I was like becoming a professional actor. I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
If I can internalize this and do it the way that I want to do it, that is just me talking and singing, then yeah. that's easier. And it's also way less anxious.
yeah, that's great advice. Now, thank you so much for being with us. Is there anything that you want to plug? You can plug your Instagram, any concert coming up, anything like that?
I don't have, like, anything coming up right now.
Well, tell them your Instagram page. Anyway.
My Instagram is just at Barrett Weed. Mm-hmm. And my dog does not have an Instagram, but someone has made her an Instagram. It's really cute. I think it's Lorelai the City Pup. Which is actually great because like some of the videos that I don't know where they are. I'm like, I wonder if it's on Lorelai the City Pup.
That's so funny.
But yeah, no, I don't have anything coming up at the moment.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, thank you.
I wish I did. That's such a boring answer.
Well, you're going to be going back into Mean Girls soon. So go see her in Mean Girls. She's amazing. Her acting and singing is spectacular. Thank you so much for your honesty.
Oh my gosh,
I feel like it will help a lot of people. And I hope we were able to help you today. Thanks for listening. Thank you so much for listening to Breaking Broadway, produced by Broadway Podcast Network. Opening song by Aaron Accurso and Joey Mazzarino. If you like this podcast and want to hear more, please like, leave a comment, or share with your friends. See you next time for more insider tips to making it on Broadway.
Together, you and I are breaking Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.